It is so good that we are together this morning. That here in the midpoint of the Lenten season, we interrupt the solemnity of, the solemnity in a sense of Lent in its certain way, to celebrate this solemnity of St. Joseph. And indeed, during Lent, we usually do not say the Gloria, but today the Gloria has been said. Because today is a day of true celebration when we consider St. Joseph, the husband of Mary and the foster father of Jesus. Next to Our Lady, the Church affirms that there is no saint more worthy of our veneration and of our devotion than St. Joseph. And indeed, if we look over the life of the Church since the 15th century, there has been a growing understanding of the need for us to honor the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 15th century, there was the extending of a feast this day to the whole Church. And then, in 1847, Pope Pius IX declared St. Joseph the patron of the universal Church. And then Pope St. John the 23rd added St. Joseph to the Roman canon, which is the first Eucharistic prayer, the prayer we will pray today, in 1960. And of course, for us here in Canada, St. Joseph is the patron saint of our country. So on this day, it's important to pause, to take some time to think about how, through the readings that we had from Holy Scripture, we are given a greater insight into the person and the man who is St. Joseph. In the reading from the book of Samuel, Judy was expressing in that text the promise that the Lord was making to David that his son would build for him a house. And of course, the house that is specifically being referred to is the Jerusalem temple. But in a more subtle way, the house that is being anticipated in that reading from Samuel is the house of our Lord in Nazareth. That Joseph would be the one who would help to establish the household of the Holy Family. And there's something very important about the connection between the promise that God would build a house and our homes as well. We know that because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that the domestic church, the home, is of vital importance. We live in a world where we become so preoccupied with the, if I can put it this way, the macro picture. We live in a world of 24/7 news, that so much of our attention can be focused outward, that we lose something of the micro. And what is the micro? It is the home. It is the domestic church, where God has a particular concern for families. Joseph understood this, and he was devoted to the family that was his, an ancestor himself of King David. He realized that to build the house meant for him to be the kind of father that could give the attention to Jesus that he needed. It meant that for Joseph to build the house, he would be the kind of husband who truly honored his wife, Mary. That he would never want to disgrace his beloved, and he would hold both his son and his wife in high esteem. And indeed, this is what we are called to as well, that to build our own homes is to emulate the example of St. Joseph. But in order to live with this understanding of the domestic church, we need to also appropriate what we see in that second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And here we have an understanding that we are part of a covenant community. We are part of something that truly is much bigger than the domestic church, but is part of the unfolding of what is called salvation history. And in that reading from Romans, Paul says of Abraham, In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Now think about this in relation to St. Joseph. We know that in the course of Scripture, he had four dreams. And each dream invited Joseph into trust and to hope, to take actions, to do things that were based primarily on faith and on trust. And this too is something that we look to in St. Joseph as one whose life is worthy of our emulation. Thinking back to Abraham, Abraham is the man of 75, was given a promise, Abram, look at the stars and so will your children be. But at that point, he didn't have a child. Joseph told to take Mary as his wife, even though he doesn't fully understand the significance and the fullness of what her pregnancy means. Or in today's gospel reading, when they hear Jesus say to them, did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? And St. Luke tells us they did not fully understand. St. Paul in that reading put it this way. The presence of God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. What a remarkable thought. That God calls into existence things that do not exist. But in order for that to happen, he needs Abraham's. He needs Joseph's. And he needs you and me. Men and women who through the course of this earthly life recognize that we are part of this grand story. The story that is of God's making. And when we come to this deepening realization of what this means for our lives, we discover more and more what it is to be like an Abraham, to be like a Joseph, to be those men and women who are living according to the righteousness of faith. What is righteousness? It's God's ordering of the world. And people who live according to the righteousness of faith are trusting in God, desiring that our lives are being ordered in accordance with his purpose and will. Indeed, we see this with Joseph and Mary as they fulfilled the yearly call and obligation to participate in the feast of Passover. For you see, this is what we understand with Mary and Joseph. They were spiritual, more spiritual than anyone, because they had a living relationship, of course, with God and the supernatural. But they were Jewish and they were also religious. And so they understood that the only way they could live their spiritual life was when it took the shape of religious practice. There are so many people today who are spiritual, but they are not religious, that they believe in God in some form or another, and they want to have some sort of contact with the supernatural, but they have no desire to order their lives in a religious way. And the beauty and the genius of Catholicism is it invites us to a profound and deep spirituality, but it also helps us to understand that we cannot do that without religious practice. If St. Joseph and Mary believed this, how much more is it for you and me that we are also called to form our lives in this way? And the more we do this, the more we will too discover that God does call into existence things that do not exist. Just think of this last year. If we had thrown up our hands and said, oh, COVID is too difficult, and said, oh, it's too challenging to try to continue all of these religious practices, we would have missed so much. But here we are a year into COVID, and here we are gathering together, and God is doing something. And who knows yet what God will do out of all of this to call into being things that at this moment do not exist. And so we call on the prayer of Joseph to inspire, to guide, and lead us. We remember that Joseph is a man full of faith. We remember that Joseph is a man who was devoted to his Jewish religion. We remember that Joseph was a man who was devoted to his family. And my beloved brothers and sisters, we invite Catholics today to be men and women who are devoted to their faith, who have a deep love for Catholicism, and are devoted to their families. For in the days in which we are living, they are like the days of Joseph. They're tumultuous. The political, the economic, the social kind of restructuring that is happening all around us, the seismic sort of activity, is not different from what Joseph and Mary faced. And yet, when we look to them and to their example, we are inspired. Joseph teaches us that fidelity to the Lord is what gives meaning to our lives. Joseph teaches us that no matter what our age or our personal circumstances, no matter what we are going through in this earthly journey, our happiness, the sense of meaning in our lives, is grounded in our faith. Saint Joseph had his share of difficulties, but he always relied upon the help of God. He refused to deviate from his vocation. It's possible that for you and for me, we might not always feel God's presence at times, perhaps even for lengthy periods. We may not even feel drawn to God because we can be full of ourselves. In this kind of situation, fidelity to God requires what's referred to as interior recollection. Fidelity to God requires personal effort to overcome egoism and to begin again a life of prayer. Fidelity to God, so that we emulate the example of Saint Joseph, invites us to desire to be full of love, to be alert, brimming over with initiatives, so that like Joseph, the righteousness of faith can be ours in abundance. And so in conclusion, let me put it this way. Today, we ask Saint Joseph to give us a share of his youthful spirit. We ask this of him for the sake of those around us, for the sake of ourselves, for the sake of our families and our parish, that indeed we might discover more and more what St. Paul said when he wrote, God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that is now do not yet exist. St. Joseph, patron saint of Canada, pray for us.